Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we continue studying Thy holy word concerning God's saving grace, lead us, guide us, direct us, speak to my heart, and speak through these lips of clay today, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday when I left the radio, I almost made a statement. I looked at my watch and I discovered that I did not have time to discuss it at all, and I would not make the statement. I said I would make the statement today. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say so that you'll not misunderstand me. We're studying the grace of God, and I said in the outset that God's grace is extended to whosoever. And I said that God's grace, yesterday, God's grace works in our heart a divine miracle. Divine and eternal transformations are wrought by the power of God when God exercises His saving grace in our heart. Now let me say that again. Divine and eternal transformations. A divine transformation and an eternal transformation. Therefore, divine and eternal transformations are wrought by the power of God when He exercises His grace in saving the soul. Now, why do I emphasize this? Beloved, here is the statement that I was going to make on yesterday. Jesus came into this world to work a work, and the work that He came to work was the work that would satisfy God once for all forever concerning the sin debt. Now, sin is more than a debt. Sin is a crime against God. Therefore, since all sin is against God, it was necessary that one, not only willing, but one capable to make atonement or to satisfy the demands of sin, and the wages of sin is death. It was necessary that one who was willing and one who was qualified make atonement if God could be just and yet justify the sinner. Now, I've said all that to say this. Jesus left the bosom of the Father, came into the world, took a body, and in that body, He finished the work that God sent Him to do. God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." He said that when He was baptized on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, "This is my Son whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him." Now that's in Matthew 3, the last part of the chapter, Matthew 17, the first 8 verses. Then in John, Jesus cried out and said, "Father, what shall I say? Shall I say, save me from this hour?" Then He answered, "For this hour came I, for this very reason came I to this hour." And God answered, and they thought it thundered. Now, Jesus satisfied God thoroughly, completely, in every minute detail, God's law, God's holiness, God's righteousness, everything. And Jesus paid the sin debt, and He came to take away the sin of the world, and He bare the sin and the sins of all the wide world in His own body on His own cross. And therefore, the sin question was settled once for all forever. And the sin question is settled. Now, hear me well and don't miss what I'm going to say. Therefore, Jesus has done everything that Jesus can do for the sinner. Wait a minute now. Don't cut the radio off. Don't cut the radio off. And don't say, "Mr. Green has gone off on a tangent." I have not gone off on a tangent. When Jesus said, "It is finished," He meant, and He declared rather, He didn't mean, He declared, He made a declaration, "It is finished." All right. The law was satisfied, God's righteousness was satisfied, God's holiness was satisfied, and the sin debt was paid. He came to take away the sin of the world, and He did. The sin that damns every soul that is damned is the sin of unbelief. Every soul that has ever dropped into hell or ever will drop into hell because of unbelief. All right. Now then, Jesus did what He came to do, and that is finished. The sin question is settled. Now, so far as God's concerned, my friend, the sin debt has been paid, but the only way that you and I can profit from the price paid is to receive Jesus who paid the debt. Now hear me well. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus is the gift of God. Jesus is the grace of God. Jesus is our redemption. Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now he is all that to us, but only if we receive him. Now wait a minute. He has already said on Calvary, I want Oliver Green. Now he said that on Calvary. Whosoever will. He said that about you. What's your name? What is your name? On Calvary, Jesus said, I want you, whatever your name is. I want you and you and you and you. I did not come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world that you and you and you and you might be saved. Now stay with me, because if you don't, some of you are going to think I'm a heretic, and I'm not a heretic. Now listen to me. Jesus has already said, I want you for my child. But now that's all he can do. Now let me illustrate. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute now. Wait a minute. He finished his work concerning the sinner insofar as paying the sin debt and making possible redemption. Now stay with me. You remember when he came to Jerusalem, he sat and he looked over the city and he said, he wept and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children? In other words, I loved you and I wanted you and I wanted to gather you and I wanted you for my own, but you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me. I wanted to, but you wouldn't let me. And he wept. Now, Jesus wants you. But will you let me use a very crude expression? Jesus is not going to knock you in the head, spiritually speaking, and drag you into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is there, the gift of God, the sin debt has been paid, and God will save you if you'll believe on Jesus. If you'll believe on Jesus. Jesus believed in you to the extent that he died for you. Now, he believed in me. He believed in man to the extent that he died for man. Now, if man will believe on Jesus, then God saves us. Jesus is the Savior. God saves us. What did the publican pray? God be merciful to me, a sinner. All right, now you listen to this, and I'll give you the Word of God, and I want you to see it. Now, Jesus is working for believers today. He is alive to make intercession for believers. He died to redeem sinners. That's past. That's history. Jesus died to redeem sinners, and he died the death that will redeem every sinner that'll believe on him. He shed blood that'll wash away every sin if you'll believe on him. But the death of Jesus is history. It's in the past. He's alive today to make intercession for believers. Sinners don't need one to make intercession for them. They're dead. They need to be made alive. And the only way that a sinner can be made alive is to believe on Jesus, and then God makes them live. Now let me read it to you. Now listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened. And you hath he quickened. Watch it now. Who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit now working. Now that's the devil. I'm trying to hurry, see. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. Now what I mean in verse 2, that's the devil he's talking about. The prince of the power of the air, that's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's the devil. Next verse, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, we were by nature the children of wrath, or the children of the devil, even as others. But God, now watch this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. God hath quickened us together with Christ. God hath quickened us. God hath made us alive. Now stay with me, and I'm going to give you some other verses in a moment. even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, God has done all this. Now, hear me, beloved. Every born again, blood washed, cleansed, saved person is seated positionally, spiritually. You are seated in Jesus at the right hand of God the Father, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Now, that's Ephesians 2:6. If you want more proof, Colossians 3:3, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. All believers are dead to this world. They're pilgrims. They are strangers in this earth, and we are hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. Just as clear as can be, if you'll just forget your religion and just let the Word of God speak to you. Now watch this, next verse 7, Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come He, that is God, might show the exceeding riches of His grace, God's grace. We are saved by God's grace. Jesus is God's gift to man. Jesus was full of grace. Jesus paid the sin debt and made it possible, Romans 3:20 and on down through 28, Jesus made it possible for God to be just and justify the ungodly who believe on Jesus. Now let's read on. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We are saved by God's grace, and God's grace is God's gift to man. And God's gift to man is Jesus, and the gift has already been given. The gift came, the gift died on the cross, and now He is seated, the great high priest, making intercession for believers. Now listen to me very carefully. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ. God created us in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now listen to this. I've given you, but God quickened us, but God quickened us. We are saved by God's grace. Now then, look at Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Now hear me, beloved. I believe in one God manifest in three persons. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. One God, three persons. By faith we understand the Trinity. By faith we understand. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand. I cannot explain the Trinity. Now, God the Father loved me, and God the Father gave God the Son, Jesus, in a body of flesh to die for me. And Jesus laid His life down, John 10:18. And in laying His life down, now in John 10:17, Jesus said, My Father loves me because I give my life. My Father loves me because I lay my life down. Now, He laid His life down, and the Father loved Him because Jesus, God's gift, laid His life down. And through the laying down of the life of the Lamb, God can now be just and justify the ungodly and save them. But why? Now listen. Be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgives us when we believe on Jesus. God forgives us when we receive Jesus. But God does it for Jesus' sake. Now hear me well, beloved. Hear me well. What I'm trying to get across to you today is simply this. Jesus has done everything that Jesus could do to keep you out of hell. He's done everything He can do. Now, all in this world that is left for you to do is to believe on Jesus. And when you believe on Jesus, God the Father forgives you for Jesus' sake. And that's the only way in this world that you can ever come into possession of salvation, is to believe on Jesus. Jesus has already finished all that Jesus can do for the sinner. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He died on the cross. He conquered the world, the flesh, the devil, death, hell, and the grave. And he lives now to make intercession for believers. He lives. He died to save. He lives to intercede. Listen, this glorious salvation, of course, the Scofield Bible explains it fully in the footnotes. Past, God redeems us from the penalty of sin. Present, God saves us from the power of sin. And that's what Jesus died to redeem us from the penalty. Jesus died to redeem us from the penalty. And that's in the past. He lives to save us from the power. That's day by day, moment by moment. And he's coming again to save us from the presence. Now, the thing that I'm trying to get across to you as we study the grace of God is this. Grace has been brought down. Grace is provided. Grace in abundance. It's just like this. If I were starving, if I were so hungry that I was just about ready to die from hunger, and someone would place before me a tray filled, just loaded with good food, good bread and butter and milk and eggs and meat and pudding. If I sat before that tray filled with food and refused to partake of it, I'd die. I would die in the presence of food that would keep me alive. Now, sinner, listen to me, sinner. Grace has been brought down. Grace has been provided. And Jesus has done everything that he can do. He came, he lived, he was tempted, he was tried, he was tested, he was whipped, he was nailed to the cross, he died, and even death couldn't hold him. He rose again. Now he's done everything he can do. It's up to you. It's up to you. Now God the Father called me to preach this gospel, and the Holy Ghost takes the word and bears it home to your heart. But I serve notice on you that all in this world that remains between you and salvation is for you to believe on Jesus and trust Jesus. Now let me give you one more verse. He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now wait a minute. Which were born. Believe on his name. Believing on his name, which were born. Not of blood, not man's blood, nor flesh, nor man's flesh, nor man's will, but born of God. Beloved, Jesus came down. Jesus brought grace. Jesus supplied grace. Jesus took away the sin of the world. He cried out, "It is finished." He conquered the world, the flesh, the devil, death, hell, and the grave. And now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty to make intercession for all who will believe on him and put their trust in him and allow God to save them for his sake. Jesus completed everything that his love, his power could do. He came, he took your place, he lived, he died. Now it's up to you. As many as received him. If you'll receive him, God will born you into the family of heaven. God will create you in Christ Jesus. And you'll become a member of God's family. And God will save you for Jesus' sake. It's by grace, all grace. There's not one thing you can do but accept that which Jesus has finished for your sake. Then God saves you for Jesus' sake. Father, honor the precious word, the precious blood, the precious name of Jesus, and save every soul that's under conviction for Christ's sake. Amen.